Welcome to Beyond Rent, the property management podcast brought to you by Rent Manager. Each episode, we sit down with an expert to talk industry updates, tech solutions, and top tips for those in the property management space. And now, let's get to the conversation and go Beyond Rent.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Beyond Rent. We love to talk about AI, and you probably do too. Whether it's how we're using it today or how we might use it in the future, you can't go far without having someone talk about AI. So we've brought Steve from Simple Academy AI onto the podcast today to talk about how to use AI in your career at your company to really advance everyone's careers and make everyone more efficient. So we're really excited to jump into this conversation. Steve, welcome to Beyond Rent.
Yeah, excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, really excited that you're joining us. Again, we talk about AI a lot, not only in the podcast, but in general. We talk about it a ton. It's in the news every day. So we really can't get enough of it. And I think most of our listeners agree this is such a hot topic. We want to continue to learn more. So thank you so much for joining us and sharing your insights today. And as we get started, maybe a good place to start is give us some background. Tell us a little bit about yourself and really how you got started in this whole world of AI.
Yeah, so I usually start off my story by telling people that I was a lawyer for exactly 1 week. That's a true story. It's not as dramatic as it seems, but I still think it's a world record. So nobody has fact checked me on that yet. Got into business, became an entrepreneur, ran a marketing agency for a while, then started an e-learning business, which was called Read It For Me, which summarized best-selling business and personal development books. And we would turn those into 12-minute video, audio, and text. So if you got a stack of books on your desk that you didn't have the time to read, or somebody gifted you, or your boss told you to read and didn't have time, we could solve that problem. And there are many other competitors in that space. But 2 years ago, roughly 2 years ago, November of 2022, so we're just beyond a couple of years now, ChatGPT was released. And as soon as I opened it up, so the first point I'll make is I have no experience in AI before that. So I am, as of November 2022, zero experience. Then with a single command into ChatGPT, give me a summary of blank book, I realized very quickly that that business was going to be in trouble very quickly. So because I could get back a reasonably good summary of a book that would take me hours to read and hours more to create a good summary on. And so that was an aha moment for us. And we went through the same kind of rigmarole that most people go through as we started to try to figure out how to use it in our business. But very quickly came to the conclusion that if I can get a great summary with just speaking into this machine, everybody else can do that too. And so pretty soon our service is going to go away. So we stepped back and said, okay, what else can we do? And, you know, along the way, we've been using AI to, like I said, do work in our business, produce summaries and so forth. So I just decided to one day ask people, would you like me to show you how we're doing it? Of course, there's a big demand for that. So we got into helping other people productively do what we were doing, but for whatever business that they were in. And from there, as they say, the rest is history. We've grown essentially, we get two verticals. We work with companies to help their employees adopt AI productively. And then we also work with consultants to train them to be able to go into companies. And as we like to say, we're not in the business of prompt engineering. We're in the business of performance engineering and profit engineering. So we're helping organizations truly understand how to get the most out of their people with AI. And then at the end of the day, make more money that shows up on the P&L. So that's what we do.
Yeah. And that's a lot of fun to hear your story, because a lot of people have these ideas of what they could or couldn't do with a business. And it's remarkable how quickly that you kind of made that pivot. You had the successful business, but as technology proves over and over again, it can easily put a business out of business overnight as things evolve and change. And, you know, I love to use a reference of, you know, the BlackBerry for people that still remember what BlackBerries were, with the iPhone and the Android phones and things like that. Like, technology moves very quickly. So you have to be willing to pivot and move. So thanks for sharing that story, because I really think that's a good place to kind of kick things off. And so you, so November 2022, you kind of moved towards this AI idea. Between then and now, tell us some of your insights of where we're at with AI, as far as how quickly it's moving or what it's doing now versus what it did then. What have you seen as the evolution so far?
Yeah, so OpenAI has kind of been a leader in this space over time, and they've articulated a 5-stage process that the AI development will go through. And it's a pretty good way to explain it to anybody who wants to learn about it. And so the first level was chatbots. And so chatbots were what was released in November 22, is what most people still think of AI when they're using it today. You type in an answer, you type in something to this machine, and it gives you back an answer. And so that's kind of level one. And even since 2022, it's gotten way better. It's smarter, it's more creative, it's more persuasive. It can do all sorts of things that it couldn't do in November 2022. So it has, in each time it gets better, it replaces more and more of what people can do in their jobs. And everybody has their favorite version of, yeah, but it can't do insert, you know, the whatever it is that they think they're special at here. And over time, that just gets proven to be not true, is it just takes more and more work off of people's plates. And it's either a good thing if you're trying to be more productive, it's a bad thing if you're staked your whole career knowing how to do this one particular thing. So that's kind of stage one, and where that continues to move forward. A little while ago, the second stage is reasoning AI, and OpenAI was the first to launch a reasoning AI. And if you're following the AI space, the, you know, DeepSeek by out of China is a new thing, but that's not really that important to understand. The thing to understand about reasoning AI is that it can actually very quickly think on its own. And so it actually goes through a process of thinking. And what that unlocks, and I'll give you an example of why that's important. So last year, in the middle of the summer, we got all of our consultants together and we went to New Haven, Connecticut, because I like pizza and I wanted to go try all the pizza in New Haven. So we went there, and we were, as we typically do, we're trying to test the limits of what AI can do. And one of the things we wanted it to do was to run an entire goal setting process for an entire company, make sure all the goals were aligned, and so that everybody would leave, you know, you do your quarterly half day offsite or whatever, set your goals, your rocks, whatever OKRs, whatever methodology you use. Usually people leave those things without a plan. It's like we set a goal and people go off, and then, you know, we forget about it for a quarter and we feel bad and we'll do it again. And but usually nothing happens, right? That's the experience for most businesses. And so we wanted to make sure that people could leave one of those quarterly planning sessions with actual step-by-step plans for how to go accomplish them. So we, you know, and it took us like several hours to work through a process to chain together these prompts so that you could leave with a step-by-step plan. Well, the reasoning AI, when it came out, it's the same realization all over and over again. You can do something that previously would have taken you hours by simply speaking it into the machine. So create a plan for blah, 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 blah. Give me step-by-step instructions on exactly how I would go about it. Make sure these KPIs are aligned across the organization. And there it is. And within seconds, maybe minutes, you've got that thing done. And it would have otherwise taken you several days of offsites before, or, you know, a few hours with reason or with chatbot AI. And now in reasoning AI, it's done in seconds. So that just happens continuously over and over and over again. It's going to happen again when agentic AI comes and the AI can actually go off and do work on its own, which is already here in some form. But the way we like to describe it to folks is it's not really here until everybody can just speak it into existence by just like with a simple prompt, because otherwise people don't do it. So that's the next thing. And we can debate whether or not like the agentic AI is here or not. It's not that important to me. But then there's the level beyond that, which is AI can create new things. And that's going to be really critical for like cancer research to invent new drugs and like new product development from a business perspective. And then the last thing, it'll be running organizations. So that's the fifth level. So you can actually speak an organization into existence. And like, what does that mean? Like, we won't know until it comes, but that is ultimately the progress or the trajectory that we're on. And I think the big thing to point out is that we are way further along in this trajectory than most people think. And most people just are not aware of how productive it can make you and how good the AI is, because they usually check in and it's like a snapshot in time. And like, if you checked in on it 3 months ago, your understanding of what is possible is not up to date. And so that's kind of what, you know, we attempt to do, is we keep everybody in our world educated on what's possible and help them figure out where we're at. So we're kind of at the, to answer your question, that was a very long answer to your question, I apologize, but we're at the beginning of the reasoning level of AI. And that's, and we have many stages to go, and it can already do an immense amount of work.
No, you don't have to apologize at all, because that was so helpful to really understand where we're at with AI, where we're going with AI. And the reality is, most people know AI only through ChatGPT or something very, very similar. I include myself in that. Like, when we think about it, that's like the initial reaction, like, this is what AI is and this is what it can do. And we've, for many of us, we've kind of put it in a box a little bit. So it's really helpful to see that it's much bigger than that. And so when I think about AI, one of the first things I think about is like, well, how are people using it? How are people adopting it? And I tend to think people are just using ChatGPT. Is that kind of what you're seeing as far as adoption goes? Like, what, where are we at in adoption?
So we've created a bunch of like thinking models for how to help people think about these things. So there's what we call like the modern AI tech stack. So we have this base model LLMs like ChatGPT, or it's Microsoft Copilot, or it's Gemini by Google. There's a couple of others, but there's this base model technology that's there. Everybody will and should be using that base model technology. Then from there, there's going to be a whole bunch of, and there's thousands, maybe tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands at this point, of other tools built on top of those base model technologies that will help do specific workflows. And so everybody will start to, for the things that the LLM can't do, they'll go find these other workflow tools, or that can, they can help them do things faster and easier because they can't get the base model LLM to do those things. The thing we like to point out about that is that all those other workflow tools are built on top of these technologies. So you should be able to look at some AI tool and say, I know how to make my instance of ChatGPT do that. Like, that is, you want to get the most out of the base model LLM. And over time, those tools will get better and better and better, and will start to eat up what those other workflow tools are like. So it's kind of like a dance. You will always be using, pick one, ChatGPT, Copilot, Claude by Anthropic, doesn't matter. You should always be using one of those. And then for some period of time, use whatever other workflow tools you need to use in order to get even more productivity out of it. Most people try it in reverse. So it's a problem if you start with those tools first and then like, I don't need ChatGPT, because you're missing out on pretty much everything else that it could do for you in your role, in your personal life, and so on. And so that's the second thing, like the second layer. And then of course, AI will be baked into every piece of software on the planet until eventually it's, you're not able to determine the difference anymore. And so we will ultimately be in a space where it's base model LLM plus very specific niche customized workflow tools that ChatGPT couldn't be bothered to build. And it's just faster for you to do it with those. So good that you're using ChatGPT. That's where you should be before you reach out to these other tools. And you should try to get the base model tools to do what it is, whatever it is you want it to do, before moving on to find those solutions. And that's how you're going to build your muscle in this world. And the more you can stretch yourself and grow, the faster you're going to get to wherever it is you want to go.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense to me, because I think just using ChatGPT has allowed me to understand at least the potential of AI. And even if it doesn't always, like you said, it can't do this or can't do that. Yes, I've run into those situations where maybe the response it's giving me isn't exactly what I was looking for, but it still points to the potential and then helps me understand how these other tools, these workflow tools are, that you've mentioned, how those can be using really the same technology, the same tool set to actually produce what I'm looking for. But how do they do that? If I'm struggling to create it through ChatGPT, how are they using that same tool to provide the results that I couldn't get on my own?
This is an oversimplification, but it's close enough. They are better than you at telling the AI what it is that they want. So they're actually technically what goes on in the background in most of these tools. There's some workflow things that happen, but for the most part, they have a prompt on their end that they inject along with your prompt that you put into their tool, and it makes the answer come out the way it should. And so, and that is actually true of ChatGPT itself. Like all of those base model LLMs have a prompt that is already there that goes in with the prompt that you send it. So it's like this thing just happens at different levels of abstraction. So the answer is they've just figured out how to craft the prompt in the right way so that for that particular workflow, it does the thing that you want it to do. So it's really no more complicated than that, which means you can figure out how to do that too. And one of the big things that we have learned as we've been working in this is that, everybody has heard of, if you're talking about AI, prompt engineering. And that's really what those companies are doing, is they're engineering good prompts to get the right output for whatever task they're doing. As it stands, because the AI has developed so much over the last several months, the AI is now a better prompt engineer than 99.9% of human beings. So you now just need to ask the AI for the right prompt that you can copy and paste into an LLM, which is the LLM that you're using. So you just copy and paste what it is into a new chat and you run it and you get it. So that's kind of like the big secret of how those companies are doing those things. There's still a lot of value to a lot of the business logic that's built into whatever software they've created. And that will always be a cat and mouse game of what can the base models do and what do you need to do. But it's very freeing to know that you don't. So this is what we tell people. You do not need to become a prompt engineer anymore. The AI is the prompt engineer. So let's just get rid of all of that requirement for you to be productive, super productive with AI. So that's how they're able to do those things. And before, you would not get a good response from the AI, like, you know, craft me a prompt that would do this very specific workflow on this very specific topic. But now you will. And that means you no longer, your first step should be, let me try to get the AI to make a prompt so that I can do that thing before you go buy that piece of software.
That's actually a great tip right there, right? See if you can do it on your own with the resources you already have before paying someone else to do it. And I don't know if this is a good comparison or not, but when I think about internet searching and how years ago, the way you would search the internet, you wouldn't always get the results you would want. So what would you do? You would search for something different. You would change a word. You would craft it, your question a little bit differently, trying to get the result you're looking for, the website you're looking for, where I feel like now I really don't do that very often. I can be really pretty far off with my search terms and using the wrong term to describe something. And the internet kind of knows what I'm looking for and still gives me the result I want.
Yeah, I think it's probably almost an exact match for that. It's like you would have like Boolean things that you could do with the with your search terms, and nobody does that anymore. And so that's when we know we're like firmly in one of those stages, is that nobody has to do that anymore to get a good result. And so yeah, it's exactly like that.
Yeah, that's great. So knowing all this about AI, let's kind of make a little bit of a shift and talk about how people need to be thinking about AI in their organization and within their own personal careers, and kind of what you're doing to help them with that. Because I think a lot of people are using ChatGPT. I think a lot of people are thinking about it, and they're even using it within the software systems that have built it into that platform. But I don't think they're thinking about it in a way of you know, gaining efficiencies within the organization or gaining maybe opportunities to grow their own personal career.
Right. And so we've created what we call the AI performance formula to help describe like how should you approach doing this in your career? You know, if you're like, so we think about it in three ways. Are you an employee? Great. Here's how you can use AI. Are you a solopreneur or do you want to become one? And that's, you know, for a lot of people, it's like their way out of their job. And for some people, it's like the only thing left after they get fired from their job. So there's a lot of solopreneurs. And then lastly, if you're an employer. So we think there are like three main ways to make a living into the future as an employee, where we think there are going to be many, many million dollar per year employees in the workforce because of the opportunity. There's going to be many, many $100 million per year solopreneurs, and there's going to be way more. You know, a $1 billion company used to be a unicorn because it was so rare, and now that's just going to be not the case. So it's going to make the winners way more productive. It's going to make the losers feel a lot of pain. So here's the formula. It's work faster times solve smarter times track and communicate equals performance and profit. So if you want to give me a little bit of rope to explain those, I can walk through each one of them. So so work faster is really straightforward. It's let's deconstruct our role and we do it in a very specific way, but you can do it and it doesn't have to be exactly this way. We create an 8x8 matrix. So across the top is your role responsibilities. So every role, usually it lists, if you ever pull up your job description from when you get hired, it'll probably list out some role responsibilities. Those are the things that you're going to do in this job. Then underneath each one of those columns or in the columns are the things that you do day to day in order to fulfill those responsibilities. And usually those are things like, you know, draft this report or create this presentation or develop this code or whatever it is. There's many of those things. So that's step one. And then we show folks how to use AI in every single one of those cells. It's like, if you have to draft, if you're a project manager, you're probably doing work breakdown structures for the projects that you're working on. And it would otherwise take you, you know, on a small project, 8 hours to build one of those things, but now it can take you 20 minutes and it's right and it's good. So that's kind of the work faster. So at the end of the day, if you're diligent about applying AI to all of those things, you'll probably free up conservatively 1 day per week that you can refocus your energy on other things. And that's where we get to solve smarter. And so like, what are you going to do with that extra free time? Well, if you want to make more money, you better solve business problems for the company, whether you're a solopreneur or an employee or an employer. Like that's what you want people doing in that 20% new free time. It's probably more like 50, but to make it believable, let's say it's 20. So you go and then you use AI, and this is where the reasoning models come into play. It's sort of like you've got the world's top consulting experts for every one of the things that you need to do better in your job, in your back pocket. And you ask them, if I want to make this KPI go from this state to this state, what do I do? And what are the strategies that I can try in order to make that happen? And boom, there they are. So we do another 8x8 matrix. It lists out all of the KPIs that you might be responsible for, all of the experts that can help, all the strategies that they can help you with. And then you take those and you do those things with AI. And so you're completely skipping, like the example we will always use is, In the marketing world, one of the strategies is to use something called building a story brand, where you would typically have to hire someone to come in. It would take at least a day of everybody's time to sit there. You're going to pay that person several thousand dollars. And at the end of it, you're going to have a document that lists out, here's your brand story. This is how you tell your story moving forward. So for every one of those strategies, you're looking at outgoing cash of several thousand dollars. You're looking at a lot of time invested when you can get it done within a few minutes with AI. And it's as good or better. This is the part that nobody likes to believe because they all have their sacred cow. Yeah, but I can't do as good a job as I can as this, you know, insert expert here. Yes, it can. And it does. And the people who kind of mentally get over that hump are able to go try more things. That's the key here. It's not that it does everything magically for you. It's not some magic wand that, you know, all of a sudden there's millions of dollars in your bank account, but it can help you move faster and it can help you try more things and it can help you ultimately get to the right result. So that's solve smarter. track and communicate is making sure that you're tracking that progress as you move along, because if you're an employee, the tracking and communicating is all about telling your company all the great things that you're doing and how you're impacting the bottom line so you can get a promotion. If you're an employer, it's about making the people do the work. So you're actually just saying, hey, I'm going to track this. And so that is a self-fulfilling prophecy. So they actually do it. And then as a solopreneur, it's just about truly understanding the impact that the AI is having and what works, what doesn't work. And so ultimately, that's the human element, is like you got to make the humans do the work of using the AI, which they're not naturally going to do. And then ultimately, if you can get those three things, you can help people do their work faster. They spend that excess time to solve problems smarter. They make sure they continue to play the game through tracking and communicating it. The only possible outcome is more performance and more profit. And so we've shown that by the work that we do with these organizations. If you do those things, that's what you get. And the return is orders of magnitude larger than what you invest into it. And so it's a pretty straightforward way to think about it. It's for us, it's one of those things that we've wrestled with for, you know, the last 2 years, is like, how do we communicate this in a way that's super clear to people, and so that they can really just zero in on the things that they need to do in order to be productive. So that's how we approach it with individuals. And like we said before, it's the same process for individuals, employees, solopreneurs, and employers.
Yeah, that breakdown was really, really good. And at least for myself, I like things that are equations, right? So that equation kind of helps, like, break it down, simplify it, understand that, like, there's a step-by-step process and there's a method to it, a method to the madness that you can really get your hands around. Now, one of the things that I hear and you hear, and you kind of brought this up, is there's just certain things that AI just can't do as well, things like that. And I'm not going to challenge that part. But one of the things I do hear is there's a lot of concern from companies about using AI and the results potentially getting them in trouble, getting them in possibly legal trouble. So I'll talk maybe from the perspective of our industry. We're in property management. There's fair housing. There's things you can and can't say. If you're using AI to do some of this work, what are some of the safeguards that people need to be thinking about maybe to make sure their company is protected against lawsuits if AI kind of goes rogue and produces something that maybe a human would not have maybe produced?
So there's a number of ways I can answer this question. So I think there's an assumption in there that the human beings don't make mistakes, and they do. So in part, the answer is whatever you would do if a human being made a mistake, like it might happen, and you just deal with the consequences. People don't like when machines make mistakes. Like, self-driving cars are way safer than human-driven cars, but we don't like it when nobody had agency to make a decision. Like, you know what I mean? So there's that. So, but I'll leave that one alone for a minute. The other one is the AI is getting better and better about telling you the limits of its competency. So like, if you ask it legal questions, it's going to say, well, I am not a lawyer and you should go talk to your lawyer. So it'll put boundaries around what it can and cannot do well. And it'll tell you for the most part. Of course, there are stories of lawyers who are citing case law that doesn't exist. I mean, so I think the answer to that is, like, don't be stupid. Check your work. Like, this is not about just pressing a button and then you get to check out. This is about doing it faster and easier. It doesn't mean no work, right? So, and it doesn't mean like you get to just blame the AI for mistakes that it's making. So I would say most of those arguments are straw man arguments. They're not helpful. And they're distractions from the fact that you will be way more productive using these tools than if you don't.
Yeah, I love that answer. And I tend to agree. And I tend to also think that as humans, we do want to think that we can do things that are different and special, and we all have a place. And we do. We all have a place. But some of this could also, and probably does, come from a place of protection, meaning humans are trying to protect their own value, their own purpose, their own skill set, whatever it might be. But the reality is the future is coming, and a lot of these things that can be replaced by AI will. I know there's a lot of discussions around I wouldn't say, let's call it creation, whether it's writing or music, things like that, what's going to happen in the future of those things? And a lot of people that are in that space would quickly say, like, well, you can't replace the human side of this, but I think you would say you absolutely can.
Yeah, I think it's a straw man argument. Like, it can replace it. The only question is, like, do you want it to replace it? So there will still be a place in the world for human generated art. You know, even if objectively the AI art is better than the human art, but we will want to know that it was handcrafted. Like, people buy handcrafted stuff all the time when it's not any better than the things that are machine made, right? So I think a lot of that will just wash out. It's not really what I'm focused on, but I will tell you that everybody that makes this leap to using these tools to be more productive so that they can accomplish, insert whatever they're trying to accomplish here, that they feel that they have more purpose, they have more meaning and more enjoyment through using this technology than they did before. So for most people, it's incredibly freeing and adds purpose, not takes it away. So I think for me, like, I was able to make that leap pretty quickly. And maybe that's my psychology. Like, my job as it existed for 10 years, and I loved reading books. I loved, like, dissecting them and digesting. Like, it was part of my identity. I was the guy who read a book every day and summarized it, and, like, people liked me for that. Like, so my identity was really wrapped up in doing that work. But you'll find something else on the other side. And whatever skill that enabled you to be really great at what it is that you're really great at right now is what is inside of you that will allow you to be great at the next thing. So I think it'll just take time to work itself out. But overall, I think this is going to be great for society. I think it's going to be great for every individual when they find their voice in this new world.
Yeah, that's really inspirational, honestly. I don't know if you view it that way, but it's really true. And history has shown us that jobs do get replaced, right? But the humans don't. The humans still have value. There's greater things ahead. There's more things you can do. The skills and the way that our brains work are different than technology. And that's the magic of all of it. And we get to use technology alongside of our own skills and personalities now.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's true. And it doesn't diminish how hard it will be for some folks to feel threatened. Like, I completely empathize with that. It's going to be hard. And I don't want to take anything away from the people who feel threatened by this, because it's threatening. But the personal message is, like I said, there whatever is inside of you that has enabled you to be so great at what it is you're doing now will find its way into this new world that we're living in, and try to focus on that through whatever pain that you're going to go through. But I think that we have this story that we like to tell. One of the books that I read that I really loved from my book reading days was The Black Swan. And it's a book about thinking and, like, a whole bunch of stuff. But there's a story in there. It's really centered around the financial crisis and what happened. And most people didn't see it coming. And why is that? And how do you make sure you don't let that happen again? And it's called the turkey problem. And so the turkey, for the vast majority of its life, it has an amazing life. It's getting fed every day. It gets to, like, go outside and hang out with his friends. And it's just, like, you know, it's life is good. Until one day it's Thanksgiving, and all of a sudden one of them gets, you know, plucked out of the place, and they become Thanksgiving dinner. And it happens in an instant. And the idea for us is, the only way to be a turkey in this transition from a non-AI-powered economy to an AI-powered economy is to think that it's not going to happen to you. It is going to happen to you. And even if it doesn't happen to you today or tomorrow, it's coming. And getting started today is the right response to moving things forward. It's not to fight it. I'm sure this is not a political podcast, I suspect, but the only thing that could have saved anybody from this was government intervention. Like that would be the only thing that would shut this thing down and keep your job safe. The current administration that has come in is basically going to let it rip with AI. Like we're going all in. Like people are going to be able to build, and by the time that 4 years is up, it does not matter. It is going to have transformed the entire economy. There is nothing beyond those 4 years that AI does not fully embedded in. So again, that is not a political statement one way or another. It's just a reality that this is going to happen, and it's accelerating. And the only thing that could have saved you is no longer going to be there as a safeguard for the next 4 years, and off we go. And the only thing left is, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, you know, and obviously not a political podcast, but I don't think that's political at all. I think thinking that way is really smart, because it is coming, it is moving that direction. And you're right, it would have taken something saying, no, AI is not allowed to be in this place or that place or at all. A greater authority would have to come in and really enforce that. Otherwise, the smart businesses will be using this, the smart people will be using this. And that's really kind of my next question, probably one of the last questions I'll ask today, is what should people be doing like right now over the next weeks, months, or year to really set themselves apart from other people and businesses to be moving faster? Because I think that's really the goal, is like, how quickly can you get there? Because you don't want to be last.
Yeah, I think thinking about the formula that we talked about, so how can AI help me work faster? How can it help me solve problems smarter? And ultimately, how can it help me increase my performance and pay or profit, whatever one makes sense for you? And if you don't know, go ask the AI. And that's the one thing I always say to people, like, if you don't know how AI can help, you go ask AI how it can help, and it'll tell you. So I think that is the, if I could only say one thing to people, is keep that formula in mind. Those are the things you want to point at when you're going in: how work faster, solve smarter. And then if you don't know how to do that, ask the AI how to do it. There are organizations and programs that can help you, speed that up and make it easier for you to do it. Like, that's our business. But that alone will get you way more down the path than most prompt engineering programs would. You can self-explore this and make a ton of progress very quickly.
Oh, that's super helpful. Well, as we kind of come to the end of this episode, if our audience is out there and they're thinking, yes, I'm using AI, or no, I'm not using AI, but I know I need to get ahead of this, I knew I need to start moving in this direction, what's a good next step for them to take as far as learning from you, reaching out to Simple Academy AI and learning how you can come alongside either a person or an organization to maximize their opportunity?
Yeah. So, and we may have to do this after we wrap up and put a link in the chat of the podcast episode notes. We would love to offer anybody who has listened to this essentially free access to a community that we've developed around this topic. And happy to give folks a link to that. It's something we would otherwise charge a couple of grand for, but we're trying to just get as many people up to speed as quickly as possible. So we can give you a link to send out for that. And then at the same time, 30 days full access to our kind of, highest level MBA level type programming. So you can go to Simple consultants.ai. That's number one, but you won't find this offer there. We'll get a link to you so that they can take advantage of that. And yeah, would love to see them there.
Awesome. No, that's excellent. Yeah, we'll definitely be dropping that link into the show notes so people can take advantage of it. Well, Steve, this has been phenomenal. Again, I love talking about AI, but I really love your approach to it. You have a lot of passion for it, and obviously you've had a lot of success helping people move. Any last thoughts before we sign off today?
Don't be a turkey.
Don't be a turkey. I love it. Well, thanks again for sharing your time with us. And thanks to our audience for joining us for this episode. AI is important. Things are happening very quickly. So if you want to learn more and you want to be engaged, check out the link that we'll have in the show notes so you can connect with Simple Academy AI and see what is happening within their community. And until next time, keep going Beyond Rent.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Beyond Rent. If you enjoyed this podcast, spread the word on social media and with your peers in the industry. To be notified when more episodes are released, subscribe using your favorite podcast player. Beyond Rent is brought to you by Rent Manager Property Management Software. Learn more about Rent Manager's industry-leading software solutions at rentmanager.com. Until next time, keep going Beyond Rent.